Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Menachos Daf Nun. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. At the upper part of Daf Nun, 4 lines from the top, we have a quote from the Mishnah. Lo hikrivu keves maboker v'chulei. Omar Rabbi Shimon, v'chula hoiso krevo bein harbayim. She'ein mechanchen es mizveach hazov ela b'kturas hasamim. In this Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon enters the picture and says that the entire amount of the k'turas was offered in the afternoon, that's the bein harbayim period of time, and he says that the dedication of the golden altar, the altar on which the Ketores, the incense, is offered, it is dedicated in no way other than through the offering of the incense at the Bein Harbayim period. The Mishnah itself was not dealing at all with issues concerning dedication. So the Gemara asks, Chinuch man dekar shmei, who mentioned anything about dedication of temple items, vessels, and the like, that caused Reb Shimon, who was later in the Mishnah, to make any mention of chinuch. So the Gemara answers, Chisuri mechsara v'hochi kotoni. The Mishnah is abbreviated, is missing, so to speak. It's taught in a terse fashion, but the true understanding of the Mishnah is as follows. And what we have done is we've put a frame around what the Gemara feels is the understanding of the Mishnah, because this is the way one should view the Mishnah. So it says thusly, Lo hikrivu keves baboker, if the morning tomid, the morning daily sacrifice, was not offered, Lo yakrivu bein harbayim, then they should not offer the afternoon tomid sacrifice. Bamed v'mumurim, when is this restriction stated? Sheloi nishane chamizbeach. That's given that we have a new altar, a new courtyard altar, that had not been dedicated. What the Mishnah therefore is telling us is that the dedication of the outside altar is not accomplished through the offering of the Bein Harbayim Tomid, the Tomid Shel Bein Harbayim, the afternoon daily sacrifice. Avol, Nischanech HaMizbeach, if you have an altar that had already been dedicated, and for some reason they didn't offer the morning Tomid Shel Shachar, Yakrivu Bein Harbayim, then even though the morning Tomid Shel Shachar was not offered, the Tomid Shel Bein Harbayim can be offered. Om Rabbi Shimon, Amosai, when is this the case? Bizman Shoyu Anusim Oshogiyin. Their lack of offering the morning Tomid Shel Shachar was a result of something beyond their control, or something as a result of lack of information, something that was shogeg, unwitting. Avol im hoyu mezidin, if they deliberately, knowingly did not offer the morning, the Tomid Shel Shachar, lo hikrivu, let's read that again, avol im hoyu mezidin, lo hikrivu keves baboker, if as a result of being mazid, intentional non-offering of mourning sheep as the Tomid Shel Shachar, lo yakrivu bein harbayim, then they are not to offer the afternoon Tomid Shel bein harbayim. Lo hiktiru k'toras baboker, if they did not offer the k'toras in the morning, yaktiru bein harbayim. Here you see a contrast in halachas. With regard to the keves, the tomid shel shachar, if they didn't offer it, then as a result of mazid, so they're not to offer the tomid shel bein harbayim. However, a parallel case with regard to the k'toras, if they didn't offer the k'toras in the morning, nevertheless they will offer it, they're allowed to offer it in the bein harbayim, the tomid, the k'toras of the bein harbayim, the afternoon incense offering. Minohani mili de Tana Rabbanan. What is the basis of that which the Rabbanan taught? V'es hakeves ta'asheni ta'ase bein harbayim. What we are trying to investigate right now is that we just said that dedication of courtyard altar of the Mizbeach and the Azorah of the Beis HaMikdash could not be accomplished through the offering of the Tomid Shel Bein Harbayim. So from where do we know this? So there's a pasuk in Shmos, Perek Chof Tes. It says, V'es hakeves ha'sheni ta'aseh Bein Harbayim, sheni Bein Harbayim, v'lo rishon Bein Harbayim. The second one is to be offered in the afternoon. In other words, when we say second in afternoon, it means that something had been done earlier, and this pasuk is in the inference that's drawn from this pasuk is second is in afternoon and not first in afternoon. V'lo rishon bein harbayim. Bamen devarim amurim. When is this idea said that first time offering is not to be done in the afternoon? That's shelo nischanech hamizbeach. That is in a situation where the mizbeach had not been consecrated yet or been dedicated yet. Avol nischanech hamizbeach. If you have a mizbeach that had already been in service, and for some reason they didn't offer the morning, the tamid shel shachar, then afilu rishon bein harbayim. Then you can have the first tamid of that day offered in the afternoon. Omar Rabbi Shimon Emosai, Bizman Shehoyu Anusim Oy Shogigim. This idea that you can have a first Tomid offering, first meaning first with respect to that day in the afternoon, that's if the morning was not offered as a result of Oynes or Shogig. That's Shehoyu Anusim Oy Shogigim. Avol Imhoyu Mezidin Velo Hikrivu Kevas Baboker. If as a result of an intentional and a knowing decision not to offer the morning tomid, then lo yakrivu bein harbayim. It's pointed out by Rashi in Dibur Masal b'Medvom Umurim Shlonos Chanach Mizbeach that the posuk that was quoted of Ves Hakeves Hashem Tasim Harbayim, the High Krah B'Chinuch Ksiv. This posuk is in the context of dedication. The Ksiv Li'Elmine before, prior to this posuk, it says Vezeh Asher Taase Al Hamizbeach B'Parshas V'Atu Tetzaveh, and in that parsha we're dealing with the issue of firstness of dedication, consecration of temple utensils and vessels. At this point, the Gemara quotes from the source, Lo hikrivu keves baboker, lo yakrivu bein harbayim. So the source taught us that if they did not offer the morning tomid shel shachar, so they're not to offer the bein harbayim. The Gemara asks, "V'chi kohanim chotu mizbeach botel?" Just because the kohanim sinned in their laxity and not offering the morning tomid, the mizbeach should lose out and it should remain botel, unused in the afternoon. So, where's the justice, so to speak? Omar Rava hachi ko'omar. Rava explains that one should understand as follows: Lo yakrivu hein. The ones that were lax and didn't offer in the morning, they are not to offer in the afternoon. Aval achirim yakrivu, but other kohanim that were not participatory in the laxity regarding the morning, they can offer the tomid shel bein harbayim. So the focus is not so much on the korban itself, yes or no, being offered, but rather we're talking about the kohanim who were responsible for the non-offering in the morning. So those kohanim are penalized and they cannot offer in the afternoon. This is also a quote from the source, Lo hiktiru k'teres baboker, yaktiru bein harbayim. So we pointed out before that the way we deal with the Keteres is not the same as the way we dealt with the Tumid. In the case of the Keteres, if it wasn't offered in the morning, they can nevertheless offer it in the afternoon. Dekevon de lo shicha u me'asra, since it's not common. In other words, there are only two Keteres offerings a day, and that's it. Different than the Tomid, which was an oila, that even though there were only two Tamidim, but there were many, many other olos offered on any given day. So this offering, the incense offering, since it's not common, and Uma'asra, it's a segula for wealth. It enriches. And that's based on the juxtaposition of Psukim in Sefer Dvorim, where it says, Yosimu Keturah Ba'apecha, and afterwards it says, Borech Hashem Chelo, which is a reference to a brocha of plenty. So the nature of the Keturah is that it's not common, and it enriches, Chaviva Lahu, it is something desirous and beloved to them, Velo Pashi, and you don't have to worry about them being lax about it. So that even if it wasn't offered in the morning, we can make an allowance for them to offer it in the afternoon, and we don't have to issue a fine against them. Omar Rabbi Shimon, V'kula hoysa krevo bein harbayim, shein mechantchen es mizbeach azov, elo b'kturas asamim shel bein harbayim. So in our Mishnah, it said that the golden altar was dedicated with the offering of the incense of the afternoon. That was the method of dedicating it. The Gemara asks, "What Tanya Bekturas Asamim Shel Shachar?" But we have a Tanaic source that says that the dedication of the golden altar was done with the morning incense. The Gemara answers, "Tanoi hi." This issue is a machlokes tanoim. We have our Mishnah saying, "Shel," but with the Bein Harbayim, and we have this Tanaic source, this Brisa, saying, "Bishel Shachar." And on the side of the Gemara, under our No Say heading, we wrote in, "Machlokes Tanoim b'mem mechantchem mizbeach azov, b'tur shel Shachar o shel Bein Harbayim." Omar Abaye. Mistabro kimanda Omar Bikturis Asamim Shobain Harabayim. It's more likely like the opinion that says that the dedication was done through the afternoon Ktoris Dichtiv Baboker Baboker Behetivoy es Haneros Yakti Reno. This pasuk is referring to the menorah, the care and the cleaning of the wicks of the menorah. Ilav de'ovad hadloka me'urta, if the lighting of the menorah had not taken place the evening before, hatova b'tzafra me'hecho, where would there be any need for the cleansing of it in the morning? The nature of the menorah was that it was lit. The menorah is the candelabra that was in the Beis HaMikdash, in the heichal of the Beis HaMikdash. It was lit in the at the end of a given day, and would be lit throughout the night, and in the morning it would be cleansed. The hatovas aneros is what it's called. The wicks would be cleaned out and replaced. What is the connection, though, between the pasuk concerning the menorah and the idea of the keturas dedicating the golden altar specifically through the afternoon keturas? So, in order to understand the connection, we will look in the Rashi. There's a little star that we've positioned in the Rashi on the fourth wide line under the Gemara text. In the middle of that line, it says, "V'keivon de menorah nischancho bo erev," since the menorah was dedicated in the evening, "K'taras nami tchiloso bo erev," the K'taras also had its beginning in the evening. Beginning, we mean the dedication. "Dichtiv." So you see, in this pasuk, which we are assuming deals with the issue of dedication, it mentions the candles and the yaktireno, the keturas. So that we see that just like the menorah's dedication was bein harbayim, so too the mizbeach hazov, the golden altar on which the incense was offered, its dedication was also Bein Harbayim, through the afternoon offering. Continuing in the Gemara, Ulaman de Omar, Bikturis Asamim Shel Shachar, and according to the opinion that says that the dedication of the golden altar was through the incense offering of the morning, Gomar mi Mizbeach Ha'Oila, he learns from the Mizbeach in the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash. It's called the Mizbeach HaOilah because the Ola type sacrifice was very common on it. Ma lahalon, just like the chinuch of the mizbeach was of the mizbeach ha'ola was betamet shel shachar. Afkan, the chinuch of the golden altar was b'toras hasamim shel shachar, the morning incense offering. V'lo'as ha'shulchan ela b'lechem aponim b'shabbos. The Mishnah tells us that the shulchan's dedication is accomplished through the lechem aponim, the 12 loaves that are placed on Shabbos. The Gemara wants to infer from this or let's put it this way, from the fact that the Mishnah states what it does in this fashion, it leaves room for an inference, but the inference itself is not accurate. So the Gemara says, Ela b'chol, when you're dealing with a weekday, because the Mishnah emphasized Shabbos, Ela b'chol, ichnuchi hu delo mechanech ha kedushi mikdash. Are we to assume that the weekday, its deficiency is only with regard to dedication, that it's not the time for dedication, but sanctification of breads that are placed on it would take place? We know that that's not true. We know, and Rashi brings the background information, that the Shulchan was not capable of creating sanctity on with regard to the breads placed on it if they were placed on any time other than Shabbos. So the Mishnah, by emphasizing Shabbos as the time for dedication, leaves room to say that a weekday, though not fit for dedication, it is fit for sanctification. But we know that's not the case. The Gemara answers, He gufo kamashmlon. The Mishnah is not being taught for inference purposes, but it's rather telling me on face value that which it states. The chinuch v'kiddush, the shulchan b'shabbos hu, that the dedication and sanctification capacity of the table, that is, for the table, for the shulchan to sanctify the breads placed on it, this takes place only on Shabbos. Kedektoni seifa, as it says in the seifa, v'lo es hamenoro, elo b'shiva nerusel beinu arbayim. Once again, the question is to be raised, what does this seifa have to do with the point the Gemara is making? So let's glance in the Rashi, Kidiktoni Seifa. Umenora eino mekadeshes. The menorah does not come to sanctify things. Klomar, v'chol milsvido eino elo bein harbayim. The menorah, the primary activity of the menorah was specifically at the bein harbayim period. Dainu hadloka. That's the time it's lit. Hachinami komili didei the kiddush v'chinuch the shulchan b'shabbos. So by the same token, and this is why the Gemara quoted the Seifa with regard to the menorah, just like all of the menorah's activity is on the Bein Harbayim, is at Bein Harbayim, so too with regard to the shulchan, all of its activities are on Shabbos. And what do we mean once again by all of its activities? We mean its power to dedicate and its power to sanctify. That takes place only on Shabbos. Tanu Rabbanan, the Gemara continues, Zeu k'turis sha'olso liyochid al mizbeach achitzon v'hoiroas sha'hoisa. This Tanaic source is a bit obscure. Rashi points out that this source is referring to the offering of the princes of Israel, the Nesiim, the heads of the tribes of Israel, that's featured in Parshas Noso. And there it says, Kaf Achas Asoro Zohov Keteres. The Brisa tells us that this is the Keteres that was offered by a private individual on the exterior altar, and Horas Shoyosa means that this is something that one is not to learn from. It was a contingency case. So the Gemara asks, Hecha, where? Where is this? What are you referring to when you say this is the Keteres? So we already explained a little bit based on the Rashi, but the Gemara says, Banesiim. This Brisa is referring to the case of the Nesiim. The Nesiim is a reference to the heads of the 12 tribes during the dedication of the Mishkan. In the Midbar, each tribal head brought a gift
to the Beis HaMikdash, included in which was an incense offering.
So at this point, the Gemara does something similar to what we saw the Gemara do a couple lines before. It's going to read the source with inferences, but the inferences themselves will turn out to be inaccurate. So we're going to want to know, what is this source teaching us if we can't learn it with its inferences? Let us point out that we have a long question coming up that you can see is marked at the left-hand side of the Gemara text. There's a kuf that's encircled with a vertical dashed line. You'll see it sandwiched between the Gemara text and the Shita Mekubetzes. This vertical dashed line continues down the upper part of Nun Amud Beis as well. So what we've learned till this point is that the incense was offered by a private person on the external altar was a Heruas Shah. This raises questions. What about the public offering on the outside altar, an incense offering? Or what about a private person offering an incense offering as a nedava on the inside Mizbeach? Are those possibilities? So the Gemara, Ella, number one, Yachid al Mizbeach hachitzon hu deloy, ho al Mizbeach hapnimi makriv. Are you telling me that the private individual's restriction with regard to the Keturis is only with regard to the external Mizbeach, but on the internal golden altar, the private person could be makriv? Vesu, a further question that results from a problematic inference. Furthermore, number two, al mizbeach hachitzon yochid hu delo hod sibor mikrivu. With regard to the external mizbeach, are you telling me that a private person, no, but the public could? The public could offer the incense offering on the external mizbeach? Veha tanya, but we see to the contrary. So what we're about to see in this source, we featured with triangles and explained in the outside margin under the Mivneh heading. Yochol is in a triangle. Sidra shel halachos umekorosei and beinyan. We'll have a series of halachos regarding series of halachos and sources. Beinyan one, mi mevi k'toras, who brings the k'toras, who's eligible to bring the k'toras, and efo makrivin oso, and where is the k'toras offered. So the Gemara now continues with the question. Bear in mind, we're dealing with the two inferences that we just made and know that they are not accurate. V'hatanya, yochol ye yochid misnadev umevi kayotze bonidava. Could it be that a private person could offer a voluntary k'tores offering? Namely, that if one does dedicate a private Torah offering, it will be bound by the laws of vows, which is indicated by this pasuk of Motzah Sasecha, that which issues from your lips. Tishmor v'yasisa, be careful and fulfill. Talmud Loimar, the pasuk tells us, Lo salu olav k'tores zora, that a strange non-dictated Torah offerings are not to be offered, so that a private dedicated offering would fall under this restriction of loy salu olav Torah zora. So what right away we see that a private Torah offering is rejected. Maybe a private person doesn't bring a voluntary incense offering because there is no precedent of the private person bring an obligatory incense offering. Avol, tzibor yehei, maybe, but if the public wanted to offer a voluntary Torah offering, they would be bound. Why? Shemevi choyva kayotze ba, because there is an obligatory public incense offering that's offered. So the fact that the public, with regard to incense offerings, has a precedence
Therefore, maybe if the public wants to offer a nidava of ketores, it will be binding. Talmud Lomer lo yisalu. The posuk which is addressing the public says, do not offer. So we see that the public is also excluded from a voluntary Torah's offering. Yochol lo yalu al mizbeach apnimi. Maybe all of the restrictions are with regard to the internal golden altar. The internal meaning inside the hechal. Avol yalu al mizbeach chitzon. But the incense offering, the voluntary incense offering, could be offered on the external altar. Talmud Lomar, to that we respond that no. It says, Es shemen ha-mishcha v'es k'toras ha-samim l'kidish k'chol shetziviso ya'asu. Ein l'cho elo ma she'omor be'inyan. We know that there is only that which is stated in the Torah. In other words, with regard to the k'toras, only that which is dictated is to be done. That which is not dictated, and external altar was not a place where ketores was to be offered, therefore it's excluded. Well, what do we see from all of this? We see that the inferences that one may have drawn from Rav Popa's explanation of the source that began with Zeu Ketores Shalsu Yochid Al Mizbeach Chitzon, the inferences that one would draw from that source are just not accurate. Omar Rav Popa answers, Lo Mibaya Ka'omar. The source that Rav Popa explained with regard to the Nesiim, namely the source on Omid Aleph that was found six lines from the bottom, where it said, Zeu Ketores Shalsu Yochid Al Mizbeach Chitzon V'Ras Shal Yisho, is in to be understood in the following form, in the Lo Mibaya form. Lo Mibaya Tzibor Al Mizbeach HaChitzon Lo Ashkhan. I don't need to tell you about the public on the external altar where there is certainly no offering. There is no precedent for that. No offering of an incense offering. V'lo Mibaya Yochid, and I don't need to tell you about a Yochid Al Mizbeach HaPnimi Lo Ashkhan. A private person on the internal altar, there's certainly no precedent for that, so I don't even have to tell you about that as being forbidden. Elo afilu yochid al mizbeach hachitzon de ashkechon benesiim, but even the case of the private person offering an incense offering on the external altar, where there is a precedent. There was a precedent in the case of the Nesiim, the heads of the tribes, at the time they dedicated the Mishkan. Nevertheless, we're not to learn from that. Hoiras Shah Hoisa, that was a one-time ruling and a non-precedent center. So that's the significance of the source that Rav Popa was commenting on at the lower part of Omid Aleph. The source is telling us that you don't even entertain the idea of a private person offering a voluntary ketores offering on the external mizbeach, even though there was a one-time in history example of such a thing done. The Mishnah. Before starting the Mishnah, let's just glance at the outside margin under our Nosei heading. We see Chavite Kohen Godol, the special daily meal offering brought by the Kohen Godol. Every day, the Kohen Godol brought a meal offering that was from an isaron of flour, and it was offered part, half in the morning and half in the afternoon. The Mishnah. Chavite Kohen Godol lo hoyu boin chatzoyin. They didn't come in halves. Elo mevi isaron shalayim. He would bring from his house a full isaron of flour. V'chotzeu, and after bringing the full isaron, he would then split it. Umakuv mechza b'boiku mechza ben arbayim. Half was offered in the morning and half in the afternoon. Kohen shemevi mechza shachris umeis. Uminu kohen acher tachtov. A kohen godol that brought his minchas chavitin of the morning minchas chavitin, and he then died, and they appointed a replacement kohen godol. The replacement Kohen Gadol is now serving in the afternoon. What is the halacha with regard to the chavitin? Number one, lo yovi chatzi isaron mibeso. he is not to bring a half quantity, a chatzi sarong, from his house. Veloi chatzi isroinoi shel rishon. Nor does he use the half isaron that remained as a balance, remained unoffered from the deceased Kohen Gadol. Elo, what should the replacement Kohen Gadol do? Maybe isaron shalem, he brings a full isaron, the chotzeu, and splits it in half. Umakriv mechza, and offers half of that isaron, umechza ovad. And the second half will be of no use. He's bringing a full isaron in anticipation of using half of it for the minchas chavitim of Bein Arbayim. The other half that he doesn't need goes to waste. Nimtzu, the result of what happened here, with the Kohen Gadol number one dying after he offered his morning minchas chavitin, we see that the second half of the first Kohen Gadol and the half of the second Kohen Gadol are not used. And the Mishnah says, Nimtzu shnei chatzoyin kraven u'shnei chatzoyin ovdin. We find two chatzi isroinos are offered. That was one by the original Kohen Gadol and the second one by the replacement Kohen Gadol. And two chatzi isroinos go to waste, as we explained before. In the outside margin, we have a nosei heading in which we've written chavite Kohen Gadol bo'in me'isoron shalem. The chavite Kohen Gadol offering comes from a complete isaron of flour, the isaron is split in the Beis HaMikdash, half is offered in the morning and the other half is offered in the afternoon. The Gemara opens up with a long Tanaic source, and you can see it's all in a frame, and the source features on this point. Tana Rabbanan, ilu nemar mincha machzis. If that's what the phrase would have been in the pasuk, hoyisi oimer mevi chatzi isaron mibeso shachris umakiv. If the pasuk would have said mincha machzis, then I would think that the kohen gadol brings a half isaron from his house in the morning and offers it, and chatzi isaron mibeso arvis umakiv, and a second chatzi isaron from his house in the afternoon and then offers it. Talmud Lomar, the Pasuk tells me to the contrary. Machzisa baboker. What does machzisa mean? It means machzisa means half of it in the morning. So we say half of it, it's half of something else. So the Gemara explains, mechza mi shalem hu mevi. He is going to bring half of a full amount. What do we mean by that? How does that work? Maybe isaron shalem, he brings a full isaron, the chotzeu, and he splits it, umakiv mechza baboker, umechza bein arbayim. And after bringing the full isaron, he offers half of that in the morning and half in the bein arbayim time period. Nitmo mechza shel bein arbayim, o yishavad. Let's say that after offering the first half in the morning, the second half became tome, or it got lost. Yochel yovi chatzi soron mibeso arvis viakriv. Should one think, could one entertain the idea of the Kohen Gadol bringing a mere half isaron to fulfill the bein harbayim requirement? Talmud lomar umachzi sov erev, which tells me mechza mi shalem hu mevi. It has to be a half that comes from an entire, from a full amount, from a full isaron. Ha ketzad. So what should he do? Mevi isaron shalmi beso chotzeu makriv mechso mechso avad. So he brings a full isaron from which he'll draw a half isaron to replace the chavitin that became tameh, and the other half he won't use. That's umechso avad. Nimtzu shnei chasoyim kraven u'shnei chasoyim ovdim. The result of this would be that you have two halves that are offered and two halves that go to waste. Kohen Gadol shehikriv mechza shachris u'meis u'minu Achir Tachtov, and they appointed a replacement Kohen Gadol. Now we're talking about a Kohen Gadol that was Makriv half in the morning and died. Now there's a replacement Kohen Gadol. Yochel Yovi Chatzis Yisroel Beiso Chatzis Yisroel Shel Rishon. Could one entertain the possibility of this replacement Kohen Gadol bringing just a half Yisroel for his afternoon obligation, or should he bring maybe the remaining half that the dead Kohen Gadol didn't have a chance to bring? Talmud Lomar U'machtzisa Bo'erev. And from this we learn, from the Vav, in this word U'machtzisa, we learn Mechtza Mishalem Hu Mevi U'makriv. He has to bring half from a hole, and therefore it's insufficient to simply bring one half Yisroel from your house. So what is to be done? Mevi Yisroel Shalem, he brings a full Yisroel. V'chotseu U'makriv Mechtza U'mechtza Ovad. He does exactly what we said before. He brings a full Yisroel, splits it in half, offers half of it, and the other half that he doesn't use goes to waste. It's Ovad, it's put in refuse. Nimsu, the result of this is Shnei Chatzoyim Ovdim U'Shnei Chatzoyim Krevim. Two halves go to waste, so to speak, and two halves are offered. Toni Tano Kameder of Nachman. Someone taught the following source in the presence of Nachman. Mechza Rishon U'Mechza Sheni Tu'uvar Tzurasan V'yetzu L'Beis Asrefa. Omerle Rav Nachman, Bishlamo Rishon, I understand the first half, Echzi Lakrova, it was brought with the intention of being offered. And in the event that it's not offered, so it goes to the Beis HaSreifa, it goes to the burning pile where there are reject sacrifices, where they are eliminated. Elosheni Lomale Ibor Tzura, why does the second Chatzi, the second half, need Ibor Tzura? Don't forget, this second half that we're referring to is the case of the afternoon Kohen, or the second after the first after it became Tomei, you have to bring a new Isaron. So the second half is brought as a result of bringing an entire Isaron. Now, when you bring that entire Isaron for the second half offering, when you bring that entire Isaron, you know at the outset that half of it is not going to be used. If that be the case, why can't you destroy it immediately? Why do you have to have Ibor Tzura taking place? We didn't explain today what Ibor Tzura is. That's a function of leaving a korban over, beyond its accepted time, so that it becomes definitively unfit through the passage of time. That's Ibor Tzura. But you can have situations of things that are inherently deficient that don't require Ibor Tzura in order to allow their elimination or their burning. So the Gemara is asking here, that second Isaron that's brought, half of which is used, is necessary. The other half, which you say is not necessary, the Gemara is asking, why does it need Ibor Tzura? Meikara le'ibud kasi. It was brought initially with the intent of not being used. If that be the case, wouldn't it make sense that it could be destroyed immediately? To this, the Gemara has two answers. We're asking, why is there any necessity of Ibor Tzura with regard to the second half of the Keturas that's not, or the second half of the Minchas Chavitin that's not going to be used? So answer one, the Omer Loch, money, the one who taught you this source, it was taught according to whom? Tonu Debe Rabo Bar Avua Hu. This is according to Rabo's opinion, the Omar Afilu Pigul Ton Ibor Tzura. He happens to have a shita, an opinion, that even something as serious as Pigul, that's a korban that was offered with an improper mindset, with the intention of eating it beyond its right time, it carries with it a very heavy penalty if one would eat of it, a kores penalty. And nevertheless, since it's, even though it's very rejected, nevertheless, it too requires ibur tzur. We don't burn sanctified items straight out. We wait till time passes. That's his approach. Therefore, if for something as unfit as pigul, we still treat it with this level of respect of not burning it immediately, leaving it over. So certainly, in the case of the second half isaron of the minchas ravitin, that's not going to be used, which is something that's not as deficient as pigul. So if in the case of pigul we require ibur tzur, certainly in our case, even though, just to review the main point, even though it was brought as the Gemara says me'ikara li'ibud ka'asi, nevertheless it does require ibur tzura. A second approach of why is it that this second chatzi isaron of the minchas chavitin, which is not going to be used, why is there a necessity of ibur tzura? So Rav Ashi says, afilu teimo rabbanon, even without coming on to setting the source up according to the Tana de Bei Rabba Bar Avua, because even according to the rabbanon, kevon de beidno de palgi behu, since when the full isaron was brought, and I have to draw from it one half in order to fulfill the afternoon minchas chavitin. But before I draw off the half and designate it as the half that I will use, both halves were eligible. Iboy mehai makriv, iboy mehai makriv. If you wanted, you could have chosen this half or that half. As a result of that, mechsechozu. Each half, respectively, was potentially a candidate to be the chatzi isaron of minchas chavitin that would be used. Mechsechozu means it therefore is a fit kind of sacrifice. Even the chatzi isaron that you eventually are not going to use, nevertheless, before the choice was made, it was a candidate. As a result of that, we cannot burn it straight out. It's not called, as was raised in the question, it's me'ikar le'ibud kasi. It wasn't brought for destruction, for elimination, because it, the one that in fact I didn't choose prior to my choosing one over the other, it was a candidate to being used. Therefore, it needs ibur tzura before we can burn it. Before going on in the Gemara, let's glance at our nosei heading that accompanies this new piece of Gemara. Hachonas chavite kohen gadol, the preparation of the kohen gadol meal offering, hoisa yedei tigun vafia. It was through a double preparation process of frying and of baking. Kayemes machlokes, there is a machlokes, beseder hadvorem, the order in which these were done, the baking or the frying, which was done first. We will see a use of a geometric form in the upcoming Gemara. There's a diamond, and this is featured under the Mivneh heading, Kavosei Didi. Each one of the opinions will try to say that, like, my approach is more likely. And they'll be citing a word from the Pasuk, Tufine, in order to justify their respective positions. So, turning to the Gemara. Itmar, Chavite Kohen Gadol, Ketzad Oisin Oison, how were they prepared? Rabbi Chiyo Bar Abba, Om Rabbi Yochanan, says, Oife v'achakach mitagno. They were baked, and after the baking, they were fried. Fried in oil. Rabbi Asi, Om Rabbi Chanina, says, mitagno v'achakach oife. Just the opposite, by way of order. Amr b'chiyo bar abo kavose didi mistavro. And you'll see at the end of this line, Rav Asi says that like me is most likely. So the first approach, Rav Chiyo's approach, which had first the baking and then the roast, the frying, he says my approach is more likely. Mistavro, why? Why is it mistavro? Why is it more logical? Tofine, the word tofine appears in the pasuk, And we've written the pasuk on the inside margin, Vayikra Vav Pasuk Yudalid, concerning the Minchas Chavitin, and it says in that pasuk, Al Machvas Bashem and Teosem Murveches, Tiviena, Tufine, Minchas Pitim Takriv Reach Tichoch Lashem. The word Tufini appears, and he takes it to mean to represent a contraction. It's a contraction word, and the full word would be, or the full expression is, Teofeno Noe. Bake it nicely. What does that mean? So that means that in order to accomplish that, you would want to have a situation where it's not subjected to any frying. Because if it's fried first and then baked, Rashi explains it will be black from the frying. There's a blackening that takes place when you fry flour in oil. So Rashi says Teofeno No'a at the middle of the page, Bishasa Fiyasa B'tanur, when it is being baked in the oven, Tehei No'a, it should be pleasant looking. V'im Metagna Tchila, if you fry it first, Harehi Shchoro Min HaShemen U'Min HaMachvas, it will develop a blackening from the oil and from the pan that it's fried in. Therefore, since it says Tufine, and that means Teofeno No'a, it should be baked looking nice, that tells us that the baking takes place prior to the frying. Continuing in the Gemara, Rabbi Asi Kavose Didi Mistabro, my approach is more likely, using the same word with a different result. Tufine Teofeno No, that when you bake it, it should be no. No is a situation where it's half prepared or partially prepared. So how is it that you bake something that's partially prepared? That is because it was initially subjected to the frying. And hence, Reb Asi, who above quoted Rabbi Hanina, said, first fry it and then bake it. Ketanoi, the issue was a machlokas tanoim. We're now going to see a source, not a very long Tanaic source, but in this short source there will be three opinions regarding the preparation of the minchas chavitin. So, number one, you have tufine teofeno no. That would be like Rav Asi's approach. Number two, Rebbe Omer teofeno no'a, bake it looking nice. That would be like Rav Chiya Bar Abba's approach. And Rabbi Yossi, and there are other girsos as far as the name in this source is concerned, the Shita Gemara Etzes quotes Rabbi Dosa, says, Omer Teofeno Rabba. Now, what is Teofeno Rabba? Rashi provides a number of explanations for this expression, but the first explanation will be sufficient for our purposes. Rashi says, Teofeno Rabba, Afios Harbe, a lot of bakings, a lot. In this case is relative, there will be two bakings. How is that? Oifa umetagna vioifa. There's an initial baking, then a frying, and then a subsequent baking. So how does he come on to this approach? Isle no, he takes into consideration this idea of no, that it's a baking while it is already partially prepared. That would indicate that prior to the baking there should be a frying. And he also has the idea of this. Rabbi Dosa also holds that it should be nice. That would mean that a baking that takes place before any frying. Now, so how do we accomplish that? So by the initial baking, that accomplishes the no'e aspect. By then frying it, following up with another baking, that second baking is a baking where it was already, where it was fried beforehand, creating the gnaw aspect. Continuing in the Gemara, we notice a new topic heading on the outside margin under the Nosei heading. We've written there, Mekoros de Chavite Kohen Gadol Doichin Shabbos. We will see sources as we go on in the Gemara to teach sources that teach that the Minchas Chavitin of the Kohen Gadol is done even on Shabbos. Tanan Hosam, the source says Chavitin Kohen Gadol Lishosan Varichosan Varfiyosan Bifnim Vedochas as a Shabbos. He says that in terms of time and place, the loaves that form the chavite kohen gadol. Their kneading, their arichasan is their shaping, and their baking took place in the azora, in metal ovens. V'derechas haShabbos, and they're done even on Shabbos. From where do we know that they're Deuches Shabbos? Number one, Amar Rav Huna, Tufine. Te'ofena no'a. Rav Huna darshins the word Tufini to mean Te'ofena no'a. That when it's baked, it should be pleasant. V'ofila me'esmol, if you're going to have it baked from yesterday, then in shifa la'a, it will go bad. It will dry out through exposure to the wind. So that if you, in order for it to be not dried out, therefore, we enable it to be done fresh on the same day, Shabbos itself. Maskifor of Yosef, Rav Yosef says, if your whole consideration of Teofena Noah, that it should be a pleasant baked loaf and not something dried out, that doesn't necessarily mean that I can doiche Shabbos. Let us say like this, bake it yesterday, and dekovish lebiarka, preserve it in vegetables. Meaning if you seal it up or surround it with this, let's say, vegetable environment, and the loaves are packed into a vegetable container, they will remain fresh. So therefore, this claim of drying out is not a sufficient argument for allowing Chilul Shabbos to ensure its freshness. There's an alternative way to ensure freshness, namely Kovish Lebiarka. Nevertheless, we have a second source, the Beir Bishmuel Tana, Te'oseh. The Pasuk that we read before, Vayukra Vav Pasuk Yud Dalet, mentions V'al Machvas Bashemen Te'oseh. So this word, Te'oseh, that tells me vafilu b'Shabbos, te'oseh vafilu b'tuma. Even if it's done in a state of ritual impurity, it nevertheless is to be offered. Number three, Abai Omar Kro, Seles Mincha Tomid. The posuk refers to, in the context of the Minchas Chavitin, it says it's Seles Mincha Tomid, and we learn from that, Hare he Kaminchas Tamidim. We see at the top of Nun Aleph Amar Aleph that it's like the Tamidim. And we know about the Tamidim that they are Doche Shabbos. Rava Omar Al Machvas. The Pasuk regarding the Minchas Chavitin makes mention of this vessel known as the machvas, a pan for the preparation of these korbanas. Malamech shunakli, it teaches me that I require a vessel. The ofi law me'esmol, if they were to be baked from the day before, from Friday, then we know that sacrificial items that are subjected to service vessels that have sanctity, it would be then posel ifsel le belina. It would become rendered unfit by having been left overnight. Therefore, since the machvas is necessary for the preparation of the minchas hafitin, and the machvas bestows sanctity, items that absorb sanctity are subject to a psulina, therefore you'll have to prepare them on the very same day, meaning on Shabbos day itself. So it's from this we learn that it's Doiches Shabbos. The Gemara goes on citing a Tanaic source that serves to support Rava's source. But the source itself extends quite a bit down the Amid. And therefore, with this, we will conclude our Shiur for today.